Welcome to the Every Nation Hong Kong podcast. Every Nation is a church that exists to honor God and make disciples. We pray that this message blesses you. Now, here's your message.
I was thinking about how to introduce our special guest. I realized I don't want to call him a guest. I want to call him a friend and also a family member of Every Nation Hong Kong. So Patrick has been with us third time now, right? Third time. And you know what? I really appreciate him. I want to honor him before he comes to preach, share the word with us. I remember a few years ago he Facebooked or he contacted me. And then he said he has a heart to come to serve in Hong Kong. And I said, wow, that's great. Bless you, you know. But he put his word into action. He paid his own way, not just for him, but last two times he paid his own way for his family to come. This time he's on his own because they're expecting their number two, their second daughter on this way. So I really appreciate him, how he has a heart for Hong Kong. And he also really put money where, you know, he really said, I'm going to come and I'm going to pay my way to come here. I said, wow, okay, great, you know. So I really appreciate who he is. And the past two times that he's been here, it's really been a refreshing time for us as a church. Also been a refreshing time also for myself and also for Pastor Francis as well, just talking to him, listening to him and his wisdom. And he's actually right now, they just moved the family to Fig Tree Sea Lai, and he is in charge of the discipleship over there. And really, for me, to hear from Patrick this morning is really like hearing from a friend, hearing from a younger brother, you know, and really hearing from someone from the family too. And just in case you don't know, even though he's far away most of the time from us, he actually spends a lot of time helping us with the graphics. So even with the things that you see, some of the graphics you see is made by him. The ones that is not made by him, I should thank Bill. They're like my online team, you know. Any graphics, you know, I'm blessed. We're blessed as a church to have people with that gift of for graphics, and of course our social media team as well. But anyways, I'm not preaching today. So let's give a very warm Every Nation Hong Kong welcome to Patrick.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. Zhou Chan? That's about the only Cantonese I know. And Tong Lai Cha. Morning, everyone. It's good to be back home. Yeah, every time I come visit Hong Kong, Hong Kong, hashtag Hong Kong. It really feels like coming home. It's such a blessing and an honor to be with everyone today. When I stand here and when just like earlier when we were worshiping, it just felt... I just felt like basically this is just such a strong sense of spiritual family, you know, the church. I just want to say before anything that that you're blessed. How many of you are blessed to be part of this church community? This church is amazing, and I just want to say that first and foremost, it's because of the grace of God in this church. The Holy Spirit really is upon us, every single one of us, every single day, not just on a Sunday, but even from Monday to Saturday, that God is with every single one of you. That He goes with you when you're at work, when you're at school, when you're in your homes. That God's presence is really strong in this place. And secondly, also because of the leadership of this church. How many of you appreciate the pastors of this church? I just want to say this, of course, Pastor Sam, also as well, Pastor Francis, and even Hong. And Maggie as well, who's part of the leadership team right now. You guys are doing an amazing job. This is definitely a church worth emulating. A church that every single church, no matter how big or small, should be looking towards as an example. The unity in this church, in the midst of the diversity, I know that we have a lot of nationalities in this church, but it's so obvious that God has brought us together. And that that the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Sonship has really molded us together into one family. Speaking of family, I want to introduce to you my family. Many of you have met them already. Like Pastor Samuel said, this is the first time that they're not with me. So I really need the grace of God to fight away the homesickness and missing my family. But this is my wife, Sis, and our daughter, Alex. And somewhere in this picture, not visible, is baby number two. My wife is now 7 months pregnant. And we're expecting a baby girl. Her name's going to be Eliana Samuel. That is our prophetic word upon her that she's going to be a blessing. That's the meaning of her name, that she would be a blessing not just to us, but we believe really to the nations of the world. And one thing that that has been happening at home is our first daughter, Alexa, is so excited to become a bigger sister, an ate for the Filipinos. She's so excited, basically, and her countenance has changed. She's learning to be more responsible. We're teaching her to clean her own room, to watch over her own self. And one time, actually, many times that she's changing, actually, right now, it's out of herself. I think it's just, you know, she's learning these things as she goes as well. One time, I actually caught Alexa doing something very strange. Very strange. Something that she does not do very often. And what she was doing is she was packing up her toys. And I thought that she was cleaning her toys. And I said, this is a miracle. It's like, what happened? It's like, she doesn't usually clean her room. And she was packing her toys. And I was in my office, my home office, which is right across her room. And I was just watching her for a while. At some point, I just felt I need to figure out what she's up to. There's something suspicious. She's probably going to ask me for money after. But I came to her room. I said, Alexa, babe, what are you up to? And she was like, I'm fixing up my toys with all confidence. I'm like, okay, why? And she said, because I'm going to give them to Sam. And I was like, okay. And I asked her, okay, so what do you want in return? And she was like, nothing. And like, oh, okay, so why are you doing this? And I was just trying to process it with her. And she said something really that that caught my attention, basically. She said, because I love my baby sister. And, you know, as cute as that sounds, it also gave me a profound sense of spiritual revelation. Because I realized that real love, basically genuine love, causes us to do certain things that that actually get us out of our way. Do you follow me today? That even sometimes when you're even like a small child who grew up for a very long time as the center of attention, and all the toys were going towards her, getting her to share was a challenge. But all of a sudden, just the arrival of another member of the family whom she truly genuinely loves now opens up a certain generosity in her to give even when it calls for sacrifice. And that really reminded me of the word that we have for today. We're still going through the series, the book of Luke, looking at certain stories and instances in the Bible that will teach us truths that will not, hopefully will not just be knowledge for us, but that we could really apply in our everyday lives. And that truth basically that we want to look into today is the kind of love that causes us to love our neighbor as well. When love is what rules our hearts, how it naturally compels us to act in a certain way, to give even if it calls us to sacrifice, and to extend our hand to those who are in need. And I want to read from Scripture first today before anything else. We're reading from Luke chapter 10, verse 30 to 37. I'd like everyone to stand as we just give reverence to the Word of God. Can we stand today as we read from Scripture? In Luke 10, verse 30 to 37, starting with verse 30, it says here, Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and he saw him, and he had compassion. Everyone say the word compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took 2 denarii and gave him to the innkeeper, and saying, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when you come back. Which one of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Let me just pray really quick right now. Heavenly Father, I pray for your word today, that it would be truth, O God, Lord, that would compel us, Lord, to the things that you've called us to do. I pray, Lord Jesus, that as I speak today, that only your Holy Spirit would speak the words, Lord, that you want to speak. And I pray, O God, that you would give us hearts willing to hear and hearts willing to receive. Bless this time, O God, Lord, as we come together and just honor you through your word. This we pray in your name. Amen, amen. You may take your seats. So the story that we read just now is a story, is an account basically from Luke, who we know is the author of the book of Luke, sharing a time when Jesus gave a parable to speak a truth that would revolutionize the way that people in the church believed and acted. And in this specific story, he was responding to what the Bible basically says was a lawyer. Now, lawyers during this time were not the kinds of lawyers that we have today, where they protect you in court, they help you with legal matters. But a lawyer basically was someone who was an expert of the Mosaic Law, or as we know today, would be the Old Testament of the Bible. These people, they were knowledgeable when it came to knowing the Word of God. They were experts. They could read in perfect Hebrew the laws that God would give through Moses to the people of Israel. These guys were like our theologians of today. They knew the word back to cover. They memorized the word. They were very filled with knowledge when it came to the law. But one thing that many of the lawyers and the scribes and the Pharisees had was in the abundance of knowledge that they had, there was a lack of application and taking the word of God and putting it in their lives. And so basically, this lawyer in the story comes up to Jesus after Jesus was celebrating a time of just great ministry. He was with his 72 followers, and they were giving reports of demons being cast out and people being healed and people coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus. But in the midst of this, one man comes out, a lawyer, a scribe, with the very intent of testing Jesus, to test his knowledge. And in verse 25, a little bit before the scripture that we just read, it says here that the lawyer stood up to put him to the test. But it's amazing how Jesus, being Jesus, turned the situation around. And instead of the lawyer testing Jesus, it was now actually Jesus testing the lawyer. What kind of test was that? As you go through the story, basically, you'll see that the lawyer, basically, he wanted to see how much Jesus knew about the word. And so he asked him a question: what do I have to do to get eternal life? The million-dollar question of that time. And Jesus responded with a question, said, what does the word of God say? And the lawyer responded, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus basically said, then that's what you do. But in the midst of that, I believe that at that moment, the lawyer had a revelation, like basically an exposition of his heart of something that was lacking in his life. And in that exposition, the exposing of his heart, one thing he probably realized is there's one aspect to that law, that part of the Bible that I'm not sure of. And when he realized that, he basically asked Jesus, but who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And I really just want to focus on that today, asking ourselves the question, as we expose our hearts as well, if we ask ourselves, Lord, who is my neighbor? Because the truth of the matter is, when you really look at it, this is a test that God, that Jesus gives every single one of us today. Not a test to put us on the spot or make us feel bad about ourselves, but really to draw out the best from who we truly are. Who is our neighbor? Because the greatest test of our hearts, friends, is not what we know. It's not how much of the Bible we know. But it's about how much of it we apply in our lives. Many of us know the Word of God. We read the Bible. Many of us have been Christians for such a long time. We come to church. We attend life group. We study the Word of God. But do we know who our neighbor is? Do we know who God has called us to love? And more importantly, are we loving them the way that Jesus has called us to love them? You know, the goal of Christianity is to love God and consequently to love one another. John 13 verse 35 tells us, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you what? If you have love for one another. So in this story, basically, Jesus challenged the lawyer. And I believe that he's also challenging us today as well. And in that moment, basically, when the lawyer asked that question, who is my neighbor? And he was vulnerable before God. Jesus found him in a good spot, basically, because now he was about to tell him a story. And that story was the scripture, the text that we just read earlier. The story of the Good Samaritan. A very common story, basically. I grew up in Sunday school. I heard that story a lot of times, but it's just such an amazing, powerful story that reveals to us truths, really, that will compel us to the things that God is calling us to do. And I'd like to break this story down for us today and see what God is going to do in our midst. There are a couple of stories a couple of characters in this story, basically. I want to focus on a couple of them. The first person in the story was the victim. And we know that the victim was traveling, as we read earlier. And as he traveled, he encountered a couple of robbers, a couple of crooks who took everything he had. But it didn't end there. These robbers beat him senselessly to the point even that he was about to die. And that victim, basically, in that story, reminds us of the victims around us. Now, sometimes, I don't know how many of you here have actually seen, you know, a person who was robbed. I remember a long time ago when I was young that I actually saw an actual, robbing of someone. It was very scary. And it made me realize just how helpless that person was. I also remember at one point when I was about 9 years old, I would go to the arcade a lot because my dad worked in an arcade. He was a manager there. And I spent a lot of time in the arcade, I played a lot of video games. There was one video game specifically that I was so into that I had put my wallet on top of the video game. I was so focused on the game, I didn't realize someone took my wallet. And when I looked back and I looked for my wallet, I felt so helpless. And what it made me realize is today that we are surrounded by victims. Maybe not in a sense where people were robbed of their money, of their possessions, but they were robbed of their joy. Maybe you have office mates that are robbed of the hope that they have in the future. Maybe you have neighbors, basically, who were robbed of physical or even mental health. That it's so crazy now. If you look at Hong Kong, this is the sixth or seventh time that I've been here, I'm visiting very, very, very often. How we look around and we see so much prosperity. And we think that in a city that has it all, so to speak, in terms of money, terms of material possessions, you'd think that everyone would have perfect lives. But it's so crazy how if you look at the news today that mental illness is on a high in the city and how relationships are being broken and neglected on a daily basis, how the youth of this nation, of this city, are scared for their future. Friends, we are surrounded by victims all around us. And sometimes we fail to see that because, and I speak this in love, basically. I hope that you receive this in love. The reason why we can't see the victims around us is because we feel like we're victims as well. Are you with me? It's like, how can I meet the needs of other people when I have needs of my own? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that as Christians that our life is perfect. But we need to move from this mindset of being victims to now realizing that we're now victorious in Christ. Amen? That yes, true, that it's true that you have problems. That yes, maybe some days are not as good as other days. That we will always have needs. That we will always have trials. That we'll always have circumstances. But at the end of the day, our assurance is that in the name of Jesus, the victory is won. That we're no longer victims. Why is that important? Because the truth is that God wants us to move from becoming victims of sin, becoming victims of the world, to now becoming liberators for people. That now we would no longer be slaves of this world, but that we would be the ones that God will call out to bring forth freedom in the lives of people by speaking His truth, by speaking life to the people around us, by being a blessing to other people. The first person that we looked at was the victim. And in the midst of seeing the victims around us, we now have two possible responses. And the first response was the response of the two other people in this story, the priest and the Levite. We read earlier that there was a priest who passed by this victim, basically. The victim was just lying there. He was about to die. He had nothing. He was in the middle of nowhere. No one was going to help him. And when the priest saw him, the priest went the other way. He tried to ignore the fact that there was someone there that needed help. And then later on, a Levite, who was basically, in our context today, was a worship leader. Someone who led worship or who sang songs to God in a temple setting. These people were called to be ministers. But when he saw the person in need, just like the priest, he turned the other way. These people knew the word. These people were experts, just like the lawyer was. They knew what God had called them to do. They knew the laws. They knew the policies. They knew to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. But when faced with a scenario where they could practice the word of God, the Bible tells us they turned the other way. Friends, let me ask you today, at some point in your life, did you see someone in need and you turned away? Now, with all honesty, if we get on the honest train, I believe that we've all been there. I've been there so many times where I knew for a fact that God wanted to use me to be a blessing to other people. But my mindset was, oh, I'm just too busy. Have you ever felt that way sometimes? I have needs of my own to take care of. I have a family to feed. And don't get me wrong, that's important, yes. Or sometimes we think that we know that we're supposed to help, but we just don't because we feel inadequate. We feel that I want to help, but I just can't do it because I don't have enough. I don't know enough. I want to be a blessing to this person who needs the word of God, but I'm not an expert at the word. Friends, these people, they were experts at the word, but they did nothing. But see, the last character that we want to look into today is the character of the Samaritan. Now, to give you a background, what a Samaritan was, basically, these were people of Israel. They were Israelites who were now outcasts during this time. Why? Because God had specifically said to the nation of Israel when they called them out of Egypt, if you remember that story, going a little backtrack right now, He called them out of Egypt, and when He called them out of Egypt, He gave them certain laws. And one of those laws that He gave Israel was that you shall not marry anyone else from other nationalities. Now, it's important to know that because the reason was because God wanted to set them apart as a nation, that they would be special as a people, they would be pure in an ethnic sense, so that they would become the priests of the whole world. But the Samaritans broke that law, basically, and they intermarried with other nationalities. And so the scary thing about that was they took their gods, and they took their idols, and they took their practices that were detestable in the eyes of the Lord. And these people were persecuted and were looked down upon for so many years. And they were basically racially discriminated as a people. The people of Jerusalem did not want anything to do with them. But in a specific situation, Jesus wanted to use a Samaritan as an example to people to show them that obeying the law of God has nothing to do with your background. Maybe some of you today are saying, I want to be used by God, but the things I've done before, I don't deserve to be used by God. I made many mistakes. I was unholy in the eyes of God. He can't use me anymore. Let me tell you, God can use you. It doesn't matter who you were. It doesn't matter what your background is. And many times, friends, the Samaritans were poor people. These were people who did not have money. But still, Jesus wanted to show people that it's not about what you have in your hands. It's not about how much money you have. It's not about your influence, your position. Again, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. But the matter of the fact is that God wants to use you anyways. Friends, every single one of you here today, no matter what age, no matter what background, God is saying to you that you can be used by God. In the same way that the Samaritan was used by God to save this man. The amazing thing about the Samaritan in this story was that if you look at it really, he had no obligation to help. Do you realize that? He didn't know this man. This man was a complete stranger. He was of a completely different nationality. This victim represented to the Samaritan the people who had persecuted my people for a very long time. He didn't have to help this man, but he chose to anyways. He chose to be a neighbor. Now, friends, let me ask you today, are we, as a people now saved by the grace of God, who have now been blessed by the favor because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, will we choose to be a neighbor to those in need as well? It's not about your eagerness to act. It's not about your eagerness to know the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. Again, that's important that we read the Word of God and all of that. But what God is looking for is the eagerness to live out the truth of what the Word says. To love our neighbor as ourselves. To be generous. To give, even if it means that it's giving something out of sacrifice. Let me challenge you with this, friends. Don't end with just knowing the gospel. Don't end with just knowing the gospel. Level up your faith by living out the Word of God, by loving and by serving other people. At the end of the day, when we truly understand how much God has done for us, it will cause us to say, Lord, you have blessed me, you have saved me, you have given me life, not just now, but for all eternity. I want other people to know about this as well. Friends, you look at the city of Hong Kong, this city is full of victims. It's full of people crying out for help. They're saying, I need someone to save me. I need someone to pull me out of my situation. Friends, we know a Savior. We know a Savior who came down on earth as man, although he was God, who came in love and said, I'm going to rescue the people of this world. We know that Savior. Many people out there don't. And God wants to use you to be a blessing to those people. How are we to respond to our neighbor? I want to give you three things today that we can do. Number one is to have compassion. In Scripture, it says that when the Samaritan saw him, he had compassion. You know, I once met this successful businessman in our church in Iloilo, the church that we used to serve. He was very financially well off. He was very established. He had a lot basically materials of in a material sense. But one thing that he was missing, he had a broken home. His wife had left him. His son didn't want to speak to him anymore. He was from Manila, basically. He grew up in the capital of the Philippines. He had worked there for a long time. But he ran away, basically, because of the hurt that had happened in his life. He moved to Iloilo, which is down south, the city where I'm from originally. And he had lived such a broken life. And so much need was in him. You know, when I sat down with him, I met him in a service. I didn't see someone who was affluent. I didn't see someone who was rich. I saw someone who was broken, who was harassed, who was helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. I didn't see his money. I saw his cry for help. And that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, speak life to this person. Take him under your wing. Spend time with him. Build a relationship. And so that's what I did. I built a relationship with him. I met with him for coffee many times until at some point I was able to share the gospel to him. And he responded by giving his life to Christ. We did one-to-one together. He became part of my life group. And today, this man is one of the most fruitful leaders of the church. He serves in the he volunteers as one of the head ushers for our services. He disciples other people. This man, I tell you, he is an amazing pastor. He has a pastoral heart for people. He's a businessman by profession, but he takes care of people as if he was a pastor. And the amazing thing, I was sitting down with him for coffee about 2 weeks ago. We met up for coffee. I told him, let's get out of the city. Let's find a good coffee shop, quiet coffee shop where we can, you know, just talk for hours, spend time. I want to know what's happening to you. And as we were having coffee, he gave me an amazing story that a few days before we met, he finally was able to call up his son after 12 years and just, you know, just over a video call, just start to share to his son how much he loves him, how much he had spent time just thinking about his son. And the amazing thing is this April, about a couple of weeks from now, my friend is going to fly out to Manila to meet his son after 12 years and be reunited with him. The amazing thing that the power of the gospel can do, but it starts first with seeing with these people with the eyes of compassion. To see them not with a facade that some people might put up, not through the eyes of how the world sees them, but see them through the eyes of how God sees them. To have compassion. Friends, it's impossible to be a blessing to people if you can't have compassion for them. It starts first with seeing them with the love that God has for them and to choose to be that person that would become a channel of that love for them, to have compassion. We had this conversation when we were preparing for this preaching about how do we have compassion? How do you build compassion? And that was a question that we kept asking ourselves. You know, I realized just right now that the way that we can have compassion is to see these people through the eyes of the person who loves the most. You know how sometimes when you have children, that the person that will love them most are the parents. And if you see those children through the eyes of the parents, you will start to have compassion for those kids. Remember when I was growing up that my father was part of a children's ministry for street children, for homeless children. And my dad would spend time with the parents basically to try to understand and to have a grasp of these kids. Now friends, at the same way for us today, we need to see people through the eyes of our Heavenly Father who loves them with all of His heart, who loves us with all of His heart. And when we see the people that way, we will respond to these people in compassion. Second thing that we can do is we can meet an immediate need. In the scripture, it goes on to say that he went to him, the Samaritan went to him, bound up his wounds, poured oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn to take care of him. What the Samaritan did, friends, was nothing out of the ordinary. He did not pray a certain prayer that all of a sudden the man rose up and all of his wounds were gone. That didn't happen. The Samaritan didn't, by some miracle, call up a helicopter. I don't know if helicopters didn't exist at that time, to rescue him and to pull him out. And like those rescue movies that you see, where there's this background music of a orchestra, and then you know tears start falling down the eyes of the people. It's like that's not what happened. What did he do? He took out, the Bible tells us, oil and wine, what was already in his hands. He took his animal. This time, people would usually travel through donkey or camel. He took his animal, what was already in his hands. Friends, in the same way for us today, God is not calling us to do something out of the ordinary to help people. Yes, God moves in signs and wonders, that's true. But many times as well, God moves through the things that are already in our hands. Let me ask you this question today, friends. What has God put in your hands today? What do you have that sometimes we'll think it's simple? Just like the young boy who had just 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. In the eyes of that boy, there is nothing special about this. But in the hands of an almighty God, God had turned that situation around and used what was in the boy's hands to create a miracle. Friends, whatever you have in your hands today, God can multiply that and use it to change the life of someone. Maybe you have a little amount of money, But in the hands of a powerful God, that can go a long way. Maybe you have a little time in your hands. Maybe not a whole lot of time. I know in Hong Kong, we're very busy. But just little time, an hour a day, a week, or a few hours a week to serve other people. Whatever is in your hands today, God can use that to make a difference and to meet the need of people. So first, we can respond in compassion and we can meet an immediate need. Lastly, we can give sacrificially. The Bible tells us, and the story in Luke tells us further on, that the next day, the Samaritan took out 2 denarii, which was at this time a lot of money for a Samaritan. It was something that he had worked hard for. And then he gave them to the innkeeper saying, take care of him, and whatever you spend that's outside of this 2 denarii, I'll pay you back. You know, the amazing thing about this Samaritan is he did not think about what was in it for him. It's like, what's in this for me if I help this person? Is he going to pay me back? Is he going to reward me? Is he going to post a picture of me on social media and make me viral? No, that was not what was on the mind of the Samaritan. He was just there to help. No, I realized this, friends, as I was reading this. Sometimes it's hard to help someone who we don't know. You agree? It's hard to help. It's hard to give to someone that we don't know. But it's easy to give to someone who we know. If it's a family member, if it's a friend, all of a sudden it's easy for us to sacrifice. Now, friends, I'll tell you this. At the end of the day, sure, God has called us to help people that are in need, that we probably might not know. But at the end of the day, in the eyes of God, we are all sons and daughters. Us here in this room and the people outside. Friends, when we step out of this room, we step into a field of people who are crying out for help. And many of them are strangers to us. But in the way that God has called us His sons and daughters, those people out there, the lost people out there who need to hear the word of God, they're sons and daughters of God as well. And just like my daughter, Alexa, when she found out that she was going to have a baby sister, how her heart melted and caused her to be generous to these people, to this young baby, basically, whom she's never even seen before. But she knows that this is my sister and I'm going to give to her. I hope that God would give us the same heart as well, that as we go back to our offices, as we go back to our campuses, as we go back to our neighborhoods, that we will see these people who are lost, not as strangers, but as sisters and brothers in the eyes of God. And call us and say to us that, God, I want to help these people. God, use me. Use me to be a blessing to these people, Lord. At the end of the day, we can respond to our neighbors. Respond to those in need outside and even inside this church. When we have brothers and sisters who are in need, we can respond to them by having compassion, by meeting an immediate need, and by giving sacrificially. I think about these three applications and I'm reminded that we can do all of this because we have the best example there is. And that example, friends, is Jesus Himself. How Jesus, first and foremost, had compassion for us. In Matthew 9, verse 36, it says, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them. And friends, when Jesus looked at us at some point in our life, He had compassion for every single one of us. And when He looks out to the people who do not know Him yet, He looks to them with compassion. Not only that, Jesus also meets our needs. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says that by Jesus' wounds, we are healed. We are healed physically. We're healed spiritually from the greatest sickness that is, which is sin and death. Jesus meets our need. And lastly, Jesus gives sacrificially. He gave to people when He was walking on earth that He would give, that He would pray, that He would heal, that He would share. But until the very end, that He would even give His very life for sinners like you and me. Friends, we serve a God who loves We serve a God who looks at people like us, imperfect, broken. He looks at the world and sees that it's full of hopelessness. But Jesus, in His love for us, chooses to act in compassion, to meet our needs, and to give sacrificially. In Mark 10 verse 45 tells us, "For even the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many friends." The reason why we can give, the reason why we can love, is because Jesus loved us first. And His love is just so compelling, so powerful, so full, and so majestic, in that it causes us not just to receive His love, but to overflow with His love to other people as well. Are you with me? The big idea I want to share with you, friends, simply at the end of the day, is this: that as Christ has loved and served us, how we have received His love, He calls us to do the same for our neighbor as well. At the end of the day, the people around you experience love most. The people out there, the people sitting beside you right now, the way that they can receive the love of God is through you. You can be a channel of the love of God. That's the privilege we have. We are the hands and feet of our God. Can we all just stand today right now? I feel like God just wants to do something today. I just want to read this scripture again. It says here in Luke 10 verse 36 and 37. When Jesus finished His story, He just turned to the lawyer and said, "Which of these three, the priest, the Levite, the Samaritan, do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" The lawyer responded, "The one who showed him mercy, the Samaritan." And Jesus told them and said, "You go and do likewise anyways." Friends, I believe that God is calling every single one of us to be like the Samaritan. But here's one thing. I'm going to just ask the worship team to lead us to that song earlier today. I remember just the promise that Jesus gave when He called the disciples and said, "Go and make disciples of every nation." At the very end of that, His promise was that as you go, as you be a blessing to other people, Jesus said, "I go with you to the very end of the age." Heavenly Father, God, we just thank You that You watch over us, Lord. That even today, Lord, as we leave this very room or go back to the mission field, that, oh God, we can love our neighbor because we know that You loved us first. That, Lord, that we can bless our neighbor, Lord, because You have blessed us first. That we can show kindness, oh God, to our neighbor because You showed us kindness and mercy first. I just want to pray for a couple of people today. There's two people today. First and foremost, maybe if you're here today and you're saying, "Patrick, I hear what you're saying. I know that God wants me to love my neighbor. I know He wants me to be someone who would help rescue the lost. But sometimes I feel I can't do it because I still feel like I'm a victim. That I'm still in bondage over things in my life. That I'm still a bondage to my busyness, to my financial problems, to my sin." If that's you today, I just want to pray for you. No need to lift your hands. Just between you and God, I just want to pray a prayer of freedom upon your life. Heavenly Father, there's anyone here today that still feels like a victim, I pray that You would remind them, oh God, that You have won the victory, Lord. That on the cross, oh God, Lord, that You have defeated once and for all any enemy, any sin, Lord, that is holding us back. That Jesus, oh God, that in Your name, just like what we declared earlier, oh God, that there is freedom, Lord. In the name, in the Spirit of God, there is freedom. And that, Lord, that You have called us, Lord, not to be victims, but to be victories in Your to be victors, Lord, oh God. In Jesus' name. Second group of people I want to pray over is maybe at some point in your life, or maybe even today, you feel like you've been like the priest and Levite. There's no need to be ashamed today. This is a safe place. That maybe you've turned away Maybe you've seen an office mate that needs encouragement. Maybe you saw a neighbor that had a need and you chose to turn away. I just want to pray for every single one of us here that may have had that feeling before. Even me, myself, right now, I come to God and I just repent. And if that's you, I just want you to just come to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, for thinking that I didn't have enough when I had you in the beginning. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you meet every need. That, Lord, I pray, oh God, right now, if there's anyone here that has a financial need, that you would bless them indeed, Lord. That you would meet every single need to overflowing, God, so that we can be a blessing to other people as well. Lord, I pray for those, oh God, who feel like they don't have enough faith, that you would fill their heart with faith, oh God, Lord. That they would believe for things not just for them, but they would believe things, oh God, for their neighbor. That we would pray, oh God, Lord, for salvation for family members, for others. That we would pray, oh God, Lord, for promotion for others, Lord, not just for ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would break, Lord, the priests and Levites in us today and cause us to be like that Samaritan, Lord, who gave generously, who met their need, and who had compassion, Lord, oh God. Lord, use us, God. Lord, here we are, oh God, Lord. Just use us and remind us, Lord, today that as we go, oh God, for you, that you go with us. That you watch over us, Lord. That there's nothing to fear. That we don't have to fear lack. We don't have to fear what people will say about us. We don't have to fear, oh God, Lord, what uncertainty we face, because we are with a God who can be with us, oh God, Lord, to the very end of the age. Lord, we bless your name today for who you are. And Lord, call us, Lord, to be the people that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You've been listening to the Every Nation Hong Kong podcast. To find out more about Every Nation Hong Kong, please visit us at www.everynation.org.hk or find us on Facebook.